About 2 weeks ago, I was praying in the evening at the North Shore. We live in Bell Park, so the North Shore, little beach there, is the closest place for me to see the sea. And I was there about 7:30 till about 9:30. Lynn had the ladies' life group at our place, so I escaped, and I went off to pray down by the beach. And while I was there praying, I asked God what I should speak about today. And it was like God, I think it was God, used the experience of what was happening to me at that time just to crystallize a thought in my mind. And here's a few photos that I took with my camera stuck out the side of the car window while I was sitting there. They'll come up on the screen. That's the first one. That's a photo from North Shore looking across to the center of Geelong there. And you can see the sun is shining and there's yachts, there's a sailing club or something having a race out on the bay. And it looks nice. I'm sure somewhere in the distance somebody is swimming in the water. And there's probably a whale somewhere, but it was, you know, a really nice picture. And the sun was warm and it was quite nice. And then as I kept praying, let's have a look at the next shot. Then it began to get dark. And I could see the CBD of Geelong, and I could see across, and as I looked, I couldn't capture the whole thing on these photos, but as I panned around the edge of the bay, I saw some places where the lights were shining bright, and then there were other places where it wasn't shining so bright. Let's put the third one up. That's probably about 9:15. Now it's getting blurry. Now there's a bit of a mist. Now there's less focus. Now it's not so clear. Now, on the horizon, particularly across as you go down towards the peninsula there, there were patches where it looked really kind of foreboding. You know, it was dark and misty. You know, that's the place where all the big bad things come out at night, you know, and stuff like that. And I thought, man, if I was swimming across there, and I wouldn't be so mad as to try that now, but if I was swimming across there, I'd swim towards the light. I wouldn't go swimming towards one of those dark places because who knows what, you know, I'd hit on the way. And I just felt this impression in my heart where the Lord was reinforcing to me, without the knowledge of Jesus, the world can be a really dark and depressing kind of place because there's no hope. There's nothing to give without God. There's nothing to give you the reassurance that things are going to work out okay in the end. And I realized how important it is to have light in a dark place. And I think there's a title slide going to come up here, I think, anyway, in a minute. And I just felt the Lord say to me, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. Will you be the light? Will you be the light? Maybe they didn't put that slide up. That's fine. Oh, there. Look at that. Yeah, that's cool. Will you be the light? That's a massive one. Thank you, guys. That's excellent. Good work. You know, in life, in many world religions, in philosophy, and in the Bible as well, light is often symbolic. Light represents what's good, what's true, what is safe, what is holy. And darkness represents what's evil, what's ignorant, what's false, what's sinful, what's destructive. They're a great contrast. And light and darkness are often portrayed as being in this kind of fierce conflict. And they are, of course, particularly in the spiritual realm. But here's what Jesus said. This is from John chapter 8, verse 12 in the New Living Translation. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Those are great words. I'm going to read them again. You've got them up there. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. What do you think he meant? What's this light that leads to life bit? Jesus is the light of the world because he brings the spiritual light of truth into a world that has lost its connection with God and doesn't really understand how to live in the best way anymore. It's a better way to live in the wisdom of God. And when you walk off on your own, you kind of come into this darkened sort of understanding of what life is all about, and it doesn't often work out so well. Jesus came as a light to bring the light of truth and of God into the world, and he came to show us God's way, and that's a far better way, because God is awesome. But when the light of God shines into our heart, you know what happens? We see ourselves. When the light of God's truth, as we begin to understand how awesome, how powerful, how majestic, how holy he is, then like Isaiah, if you've ever read in the prophecy of Isaiah, he said, oh, woe is me, I'm a sinful man, you know. And we see ourselves in the light of God's holiness, and we begin to realize, wow, I'm not like God in many ways. And if we tend to live away from God's way, in isolation from him, and try to do things by ourselves, then we live away from his wisdom and his love, and often our view of the world loses its hope and its perspective because we don't have that help and that input from God with the light of truth that he brings us. But Jesus offered spiritual light. He said, if you follow me, I'll give you the light that leads to life in all its fullness, so it can be far better than it would be ever just trying to do it on your own. He said he would come to bring us a revelation of truth. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'll bring you something that you need if you are to live life to its fullest potential, and if you ever are to find a connection with God. And that truth and that light that Jesus brings changes us totally from the inside out. And to get that light, we just need to put our faith in Jesus. We need simply to believe his words when he said that he was the Son of God. And believe the fact that he came, and as we're going to celebrate at Easter, he died for us on the cross, and then he rose again on the third day. And now he offers forgiveness for all the wrong things we've ever done. And if we accept that, he brings new light of understanding into our minds, and we get reconnected with God. And life is so much better with Jesus. It really is. And if you've never put your trust in Jesus before, think about it today. It'll radically change your life. Have you ever experienced total darkness? Anybody been down to the Victorian State coal mine in Wonthaggi down near Phillip Island? Anybody been down that? Okay, one or two hands, brave souls, went down into the depths of the earth. I just read the book of Jonah this week, where he was down in the depths of the sea in the belly of the whale. Well, it's not quite like that down in the coal mine, but it's dark. They take you, you can walk down into that coal mine, and they let you go in this little coal kind of truck thing that they used to bring the coal out of the mine. And when you get down in the bottom, they give you a bit of warning so you don't have a heart attack. And they say to you, we're just, in a minute, we're going to turn the lights off. Just so you can get an idea of what it's like down here. And they switch the lights off, and it's totally dark. And you can go like this. Is my hand actually there? Oh yeah, it is, but I can't see it. It's totally black, and your eyes are almost popping out of your head, and your brain is reeling as it tries to process the lack of visual input in total blackness. I want to give you a quick story. Once, about 500 years ago, I was a teenager. In a small country called Wales, which is a tiny bit on the in the UK, on the left-hand side of England. Wales has nothing to do with big fish. It's just an actual country. Fits into the state of Victoria about three times. When I was a teenager, I had some friends. That was nice. And we heard that in the next town to ours, which was over a mountain, Wales is full of mountains and valleys, in the next valley there was a new swimming pool that had been built. Now they were going to build one in our town as well, but it hadn't been built yet. So we thought, wouldn't it be great, we'll walk over the mountain to the swimming pool that's in the next town. So we, you know, got a little backpack of some sort, stuck in a sandwich and some water, whatever it was. And somebody told us there's a gas pipe that goes up the mountain. And if you follow the gas pipe right over the mountain, you won't get lost, because you could get lost up there. You just follow the gas pipe up and it comes down the other side and it actually goes right into the town. Underground, of course, by then. So we went, we followed the gas pipe up the mountain, down the other side. Took, I don't know, a couple of hours at least. And it was summertime and it was warm. We were looking forward to swimming in the pool. We finally got there. We paid our money. We swam in the pool. We ate our sandwich and drank the water. And then we had to make our way back, follow the gas pipe up the mountain, down the other side, and came home and thought, whoa, what a great day. We had an adventure. Excuse me, I'll just drink this. I got a bit of a frog in my throat this morning. You want a sip? You can if you're willing to come up here and preach. So we came back down and thought, that was really good. We'll do that again. But what we discovered on the way was where the gas pipe began to go up the mountain, there was an old railway tunnel. And it went right through the mountain in a curvy sort of thing, direction where they'd bored this hole through the mountain for trains, coal trains. So we decided we'd get a torch and take a shortcut. So instead of following the gas pipe over the mountain, we would go with a torch through the railway tunnel. Now, this railway tunnel wasn't the safest place on earth. In fact, it had a big sign, twice as big as me, saying, "Forbidden, don't go in here. Do not enter this place. This is dangerous." So, of course, being good, obedient teenagers, we just climbed over that and went into the tunnel with our torches. And as we began to go in, it started to get dark. And we suddenly saw something in the darkness and thought, oh, this is it. This is the monster coming out. It was a great heap of twisted scrap metal where they began to pull up the railway lines that go through the tunnel. And they were pulling up the railway lines and pulling up the bearers, and they just left them all in a heap. They must have decided in the end it wasn't worth clearing it all out, so it was just left there in a wreck. So as you walked through this tunnel, there were these great big holes where the wooden bearers had been that were now filled with oil and rain and pools of water, which if you stepped into them, you'd know there was a giant squid or something that would just suck you away. And you suddenly came across all this twisted scrap metal, and every now and again there'd be a great big chunk of bluestone that had fallen out of the curve that they used to make the arch of the railway line. So it really wasn't all that safe a place. But when we got into the middle, after you'd gone round a couple of curves, we decided to see what the dark was like. So we switched off our torches, and there it was again, complete, utter blackness. Couldn't see my own hand. Now here's a picture of total darkness, just so you can see what it's like. I don't know which screen's going to come. Oh, there you go. It's good, isn't it? Darkness doesn't help you much, does it? Total darkness is a bit unnerving, even a bit scary, because of the fear of the unknown. You just don't know what's there. Your mind imagines what's there, but you don't know what's there. And life can be like that, when you're in a place where you just don't know how whatever it is that you're experiencing or about to work through is going to work out. You're not quite sure, because only God knows all these things and knows the future, and we don't. We just live day by day. And sometimes when you're faced into something and you don't know how it's going to work out and you don't know what decision to make and you don't know what thing you should do next, it can be a bit unnerving, just like stumbling around in the dark. Maybe that's a bit like you today. I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's numbers of us here who are experiencing many of the changes in life, and some of them are a bit unnerving. Things happen unexpectedly, or things happen that you did not want to happen, or sometimes you face a decision where you feel like, I'm facing this like walking in the dark. I really do not know which option to take. And it can be a little bit unnerving. I want you to remember this. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, but you will have the light that leads to life. He'll help you when you face all those tricky bits in life. But Jesus also said something else to his disciples, and this scripture is in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. He said to those who followed him, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. He is the light, the ultimate light, the great light. But those who follow him," he said, "you are the light too." As followers of Jesus, we allow him to change us so that his life, our life, becomes more like his. And we begin to reflect something of his kindness and his goodness if we're willing to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And so our life becomes like a small light that reflects the great light of the life of Jesus Christ. And in this world, we are to live by the truth. And we are to live as children of light, shining as we demonstrate God's way of life so that others can see something of God in us. We're not God. But if we are good as we can be by his help, we can reflect his goodness. If we speak the truth, we can reflect the truth that God brings into the world. If we are kind, we can demonstrate the kindness of God. If we are accepting of other people, we can demonstrate the acceptance of God. And so our lives become a revelation and a reflection of the life of Jesus here on earth in a small kind of way, but an effective way, so that others also can believe. We have to introduce spiritual truth and spiritual life into the worlds in which you and I live. Into the factory where you work, into the university where you're studying, into your school, into your family, into the street where you're living. We are meant to shine as lights in a dark place so that the people who have no hope, who are reeling with confusion and wondering which way to go and thinking, "I don't know how I'm going to get through this," maybe you in your life and perhaps with your words, you can help them find some hope and a way through because you bring the light of God into their circumstance. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesian church, which would be in modern-day Turkey. He said this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord." Bring light into your world. And then the Apostle John, he wrote something like that too. In his first letter of John, chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, he said, "This is the message that we heard from Jesus, and we now declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So we are lying if we say that we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." I told you that purposefully I would bring you a light message, so now you know why I said that. But the main purpose of this message is not to make you feel like, "Oh, I have to do better. You know, I have to live a much better life for God." I mean, that's a good thing to do. Please try to do that. That's what we're all going to do as we follow Jesus. But I'm not trying to do that. This message is to remind you and I, what is God's purpose for you and me? It's useless living life without a purpose. You might as well die tomorrow if you haven't got a purpose. But God will give you a purpose. The purpose of God for you and me is that our lives can be a revelation and a reflector of Jesus Christ in the world where he has placed us to live. That's the reason that we're still here. Otherwise, why didn't God just take me home to heaven one split second after I gave my life to Jesus? No. He said, I want you to live here and be a light in the world where you're placed. I want you to shine and bear witness for me. You know, our Christian life is meant to shine like that. You can bring the knowledge of Jesus into your world. You can bring truth instead of the confusion that many people are struggling with as they have all these options and viewpoints put before them. You can bring hope instead of despair. when people are discouraged and they say, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Well, Jesus said, if you follow me, you'll have the light that leads to life. You can, by your life, bring wisdom to a place where foolishness is going on, where people are doing foolish things because people have told them this is the way to do, this is the option to choose, when sometimes it's really a bad option. But you can bring the wisdom of God into there instead of foolishness. You can bring spiritual life instead of spiritual death if you live as a light in the dark place. To be the light, we need to resurrender, as we sang in that song a bit earlier, to the daily empowering of God's Holy Spirit. He never left us to try and do this by ourselves. Jesus said, when I've gone back to my Father in heaven, I'm going to send you somebody who's just like me in every respect. He's going to be a wonderful helper, and he's going to bring to your memory all the things that I've ever taught you, and he will teach you the truth. You just need to walk with him. And so every day, we need to ask God, fill me. Lord, fill me today. Empower me. Help me to live like Jesus. Help me to be the light today in my world. We need to do that. We need to live with a purpose. We need to consciously focus our deliberations and say, Lord, today, by your grace, I'm going to be the light. I'm going to be like you. Fill me with your spirit so I can shine as a light in a dark place today. Let me take you back to those photos that I took. Okay, there's the first one, and there's the second one. What I need you to know is the two photos are exactly of the same place. But the light fills one with clarity. The light fills one with joy and expression and the possibility of enjoying life. The light fills one with hope. The other is just filled with that murky sense of, well, I know stuff is out there, but it doesn't look all that inviting. You know, the world where you and I live, it needs truth. I'm sure you know by now that for a couple of decades now, our universities have been teaching that there's no such thing as absolute truth anymore. What's true for you may be different and not be true for me. I can't even understand that reasoning because I was brought up, I guess, on the knowledge of the Word of God, where I know that God brings truth into life and there is truth that can be known and it doesn't have to be guessed at. The world where we live needs truth. It needs hope. It needs encouragement. It needs Jesus. And that's why you and I are here, you know. Our purpose is not to be hidden as a secret follower where nobody even knows where you live that you're a Christian. No. By the grace of God, ask the Spirit of God to fill you that you might shine as a light in a dark place and live as a light bearer. So if I put my message into a phrase today, it's this: Jesus is the light of the world, but will you be the light in your world? And I think God spoke to me, whether it was just for me on that night or whether it really was something I should bring to the church today. But it challenged my heart to be somebody who, by the grace of God and filled with the Spirit of God, can shine some hope and some truth and some light and some encouragement and some direction wherever I go and amongst whoever I meet. If God is saying anything to you in your heart today about making a fresh step or taking a fresh step of purpose, embracing that afresh in your life to say, God, by your grace, I'm going to be the light in the dark place around where I live. I want you to stand up on your feet. If that's going to be your purpose, if you're willing to be, you don't have to stand, but if you want to be the light in a place so you live with purpose and you shine and you bring truth and wisdom, just stand up and I'm going to pray for you now and pray for us all. Pray for me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I've only asked you to stand because you'll remember this. You'll remember that you stood. And tomorrow you'll remember, yes, today I'm going to be the light. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for speaking to us from your word and for reminding us in a very simple way that our world desperately needs to know Jesus Christ. We thank you that the knowledge of Jesus came into our own heart, and you have radically revolutionized our life by the truth that Jesus has brought. And today we stand in your presence, Lord, and by your grace, we make a fresh determination that you can have us, that you can fill us, that you can empower us, that you can give us wisdom, that you can give us new determination that tomorrow morning when we get up and the next day and this week and in the coming months until Jesus comes, we are going to shine as a light in a dark place. We are going to bring something of hope and truth and encouragement to our workmates, to our family, to the world in which we live. Take hold of us this morning, Lord, as we recommit ourselves, as we resurrender in your presence to this purpose to which you have called us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the light that leads to life that you brought into our lives. And we pray that through our resurrendering of our lives today, your light might shine and bring many to a knowledge of the truth. We thank you for accepting this rededication of ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen.